I wouldn't do it if I were you. If I were you and I were smart, I would not call the new Obamacare 1-800 number. I wouldn't do it if I were you. There's no way in the world. Have you seen the front page of the Drudge Report today? I'm not going to say anything about it. All you got to do is type it in and go look at it. And it's true. That is the phone number that you dial. You pull the phone up and you know the phone has letters on the numbers. And somebody figured out what the numbers spell. So you go check it out. And I wouldn't dial it. No, sir, I wouldn't do it. And there's all this talk from everybody about the exchanges anyway, and nobody's getting through, nobody's getting anything done, and blah, 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 and it's all a big mess. And it is. It's only going to get worse. It's a big mess for the country. It's a big mess for America. And there was an article that came out on Infowars.com, which is Alex Jones, and I don't know that I believe that, because that the article lacked a whole lot of evidence. Something about this guy tried to enroll for Obamacare, and he was told that if he didn't do it or whatever, they was going to bust him for $4,000, and they were going to pull it out of his bank account, and he was going to have to do this and do that and the other. And the only thing that Alex Jones could do on his website in the article was quote this guy and show his Facebook posting. But there was no evidence. In other words, I didn't see an email from Department of Health and Human Services, which is apparently is administering this, saying that that's what they were going to do. So I don't know. And you know me. I'm going to be critical. I'm going to be pretty close-minded on a lot of things unless I see the evidence. So I promise you, there is an aspect of this healthcare deal that is going to put it is going to lead mankind to go get a mark in their right hand or forehead. There's something about it. I don't know what it is. And by the way, March of 2013 came and went, and no one in America has been forced to put a microchip under their skin. If you remember, that's what everybody was saying, that here we go, it's all gonna come to a head, March 2013. And that never happened. It never happened. But good to see you today. Glad to be here. This is Pastor Mike, and I am online, and I am live today, and I'm not going to dial the phone number. I had a picture up of Joel Osteen, and there is a new article out from the Huffington Post in the religious section that says Joel Osteen is a phenomenon, a mega pastor, a mega church pastor, televangelist, senior minister of Lakewood Church, social media monster. The Reverend Osteen now has a new book called Breakout, 5 Keys to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life. The spiritual star dropped by Huffington Post Live to talk with Joseph Zepps about growing up poor, spiritually what to pray for, the Pope, and, of course, the gays. Zepps read a piece that he liked from Osteen's new book. This is a quote from Joel himself. It doesn't matter who likes you or doesn't like you. All that matters is that God likes you. It's Osteen's words. He accepts you. He approves of you. That's what Osteen said that God says. God says he likes you. He accepts you. And he approves of you. Zepps followed up by asking if that included homosexuals. Absolutely, Osteen insisted. I believe that God breathed life into every person and that every person is made in the image of God and you have accept them as they are on their journey. I'm not here to preach hate or push people down. John asked Osteen about his religious upbringing. My dad was a minister and came from poverty. My dad was always for the underdog. I believe we are all his dad. John Osteen used to be a Baptist preacher. Baptist. I don't know if he was independent, Southern, General, Free Will, American, Anna. I don't know what he was. He used to be a Baptist preacher. And then he got the Holy Ghost. He got the Spirit. And then he took off and became this health and wealth prosperity preacher that fed into who Joel Osteen is now. And Osteen goes on to say, I do think that religion has turned a lot of people off. Part of it is because it was all about the rules and was political. I think now people have a hunger for God. They want to have a relationship, but they don't want to be called religious. I'm not trying to get them to join my religion. I'm just trying to plant a seed of hope in their heart. I want to go back to this thing that Osteen said. If you got any relevant scriptures, I'd like for you to send them to me. Concerning what he said, it doesn't matter who likes you or doesn't like you. All that matters is that God likes you. He accepts you. He approves of you. Let's consult God and see what he says. Let's see if that's true. Let's see here. Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That doesn't sound like God approves of you. Let's see here. Here's another verse here, if I can find it very quickly. Let's see here. Where is it? Saintful. There we go. The heart of man, what I'm looking for is the heart of man is there it is, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. If you were to take your Bible, turn to Revelation 20:15. In fact, let's go back to verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven had fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead, which were judged out of those things, which were written in the books, according to their works. Now, I've explained this before, but people have asked me a question. Somebody had sent me a comment that somebody said there was like three, they could count three or more resurrections in the Bible. And I said, no, there's resurrection of the believers, there's the resurrection of the damned, and this is it. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books are open. The books that are open are, and the Bible says the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Everything that you've done wrong is recorded in a book. The violations of the law, the things that you did contrary to the law, you stole money, that was written down. You lusted after your neighbor's house. That was written down. You lied. That was written down. And those things are written down in a book, every one of them. And the idea of most people is that, well, I did it, but God, that was 20 years ago. I mean, I'm over it now. Well, aren't you? Shouldn't you be over it now? I mean, that was 20 years ago. That was when I was a kid. I didn't know what I was doing then, or this and that and the other. It was written down. And it's a charge against you. And you're going to be judged out of those things that are written in the book. Your works, the things that you did. The only thing that can save you is the applied blood of Christ that has blotted out your transgressions. So they call your name. The book is open. There's nothing there. It is as if you have never done any sin at all. You become as the sinless Son of God. You have the imputed righteousness of Christ upon you. I absolutely love that. But that's just sort of an idea of what God thinks of people, of mankind. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You left that out, Joel. For some reason, you decided that that was too negative to tell people. I'm not here to hate people. I'm not here to push people over either. But a requirement of the job that we have is to tell people what the book says. Tell people the truth. They're sinners. They're going to die and go to hell unless God saves them. What's wrong with preaching that to people? By the way, have you seen the hornets? Have you seen these things here? Let me see, make sure I can... There we go. What happened? Let's see here. I am having a problem with my feed or something like that. Let me see if I can do this here. There we go. You can see me there. I'm not sure what happened. Let's see what can I do here. Let me play some music in the background. I'm going to try to fix my camera. Everybody, hang on 1 second. Hang on here. I got it fixed. My foot hit a button. Have you seen these things? My goodness. These things are huge. These are Asian hornets. They'll kill you painfully and thoroughly, and they've been reported in the U.S. Climate change might be... Oh, here we go. It's all climate change. It used to be global cooling in the 70s. Then it became global warming. And then it became climate change. I don't understand it. Climate change might be contributing to a global rise in insect numbers. If that weren't bad enough, some of the bugs that appear to be benefiting from that population surge are giant Asian hornets that are killing people, unfortunate enough to disturb them. Why would you disturb them? I wouldn't do it. According to The Guardian, at least 28 people have died and hundreds have been injured in a wave of attacks by giant hornets in central China. The hornets, also known as Vespa mandarinia, have reportedly chased victims for hundreds of meters and stung them as many as 200 times. You had to do me once, buddy, and I'm going to roll over and die. My wife is badly allergic to wasps and bees and things like that. The venom from the stings can cause anaphylactic shock, kidney failure. The Guardian reported, as if you wouldn't die from sheer terror. Imagine getting stung 200 times by one of these. Chances are you won't be, since these are queens, but the run-of-the-mill variety of this particular hornet are also pretty terrifying. The average stinger on a giant Asian hornet measures about 1/4 inch. That's big. That is big. Now, if you don't want to be stung by one of the... If that terrifies you, go read Revelation 9. If that scares you, go read Revelation 9. Because that, my friend, is what's coming. Jesus told us, don't be afraid of the one who can kill the body. But fear the one who can kill both soul and body. That's what you fear. And in Revelation 9, there is a sting coming. And it's going to hurt men, not for 5 minutes or 5 days. It's going to hurt men for 5 months. So much so that for 5 months, people will want to die, but they won't be able to. That's what's coming down the road. Joel, why don't you tell people about that, huh? Tell them about that. Kelly Sue sent me an email. By the way, I'm looking forward to taking some of your emails. I've got a couple things up in the queue today. A new Iron Man poster that I'm going to show you here in a little bit. That as soon as I saw it, and the person sent it to me going, Pastor, I think I get this. Am I right? Yeah. And by the way, if you are the one who sent me this particular poster, just call our office. You get a free video of your choice from Prophetic Research Ministry. Kelly Sue says, hello, Pastor Mike. We're looking for local King James Bible-believing people to fellowship with. We're in the Flathead Valley in Montana. We have started match.kjv on Facebook. In an attempt to help us and others connect, please mention it so others will be aware of this. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Word, Kelly Sue and Craig. And so if you are so interested in that, look up match.kjv on Facebook. Kelly Sue, I'll also warn you, be vigilant. Be vigilant, because anytime you have a private group, people will try to join that group to take over and to influence other people. They do it in my group all the time. And this kind of annoys me. When most of what I post on Facebook is just when our cameras come on here, or when we post a video to Sermon Audio, things like that, then a posting goes up on Facebook. Every now and then I'll look at that, and somebody in the comment section has posted something that they did, some YouTube video that they had, or something that they did. They're wanting to use me to draw attention to themselves. I delete them. If you want attention, just do what I did. Just get you a Facebook account, get you a YouTube account, make your videos, see who watches them. But anyway, people then will try to get into your group, and they will try to use that as a base to influence others as far as their particular ideas or creeds or whatever it is. So be vigilant about that. Biometric database to track every non-EU citizen. The European Commission wants to fingerprint anyone who enters the EU. By the way, I was going to do this today, but I'm going to wait till next week. I'm going to do a little bit more research on it. Probably next Tuesday, I'm going to show you what's behind the new Apple iPhone and the way that it identifies you. Have you heard about that? It's fingerprint scanning. I thought Apple came up with the technology. They didn't. Apple bought a company that had already had that technology. Wait till you see who's behind this. When you see who's behind it, it won't take you but just, I don't know, 3 to 4 seconds for you to understand the agenda behind it. But I want you to think along these terms. Think in how the Bible presents it. I'm just remembering something here. I need to pull up my notes. Several of you did exactly what I asked you to do, and that was, you transcripted what was said by Brandon House and Jimmy DeYoung concerning their idea that people can be saved even after they take the mark of the beast. And I'm going to read part of that transcript here shortly, but understand what this is all about. In Revelation 13, in fact, let's open up our can here a King James. It's got milk and honey in it, I'm pretty sure. And it's totally non-alcoholic. The King James Bible will never make you drunk. Can I get an amen out of God's people? In Revelation 13, and I want you to understand how the Bible lays this out, because here's the thing that Brandon House and Jimmy DeYoung, they were trying to sell to everybody. This idea that the Bible says he causeth all, and then they stop right there. They say he causes everybody to get a mark. So everybody during this time is going to get a mark, no exceptions. Everybody is. That's not how this verse is laid out. If you look at it, go look at King James Bible. He causeth, and by the way, Brandon House, Jimmy DeYoung, I think they were also quoting, I can't remember who it was. None of these guys hold to the perfect Bible. They don't believe in it. They believe, well, you just use any translation, and you go to the original Greek and Hebrew, and you can find UFOs. You can find gray aliens under the Denver airport if you just look in the Greek and Hebrew. I'm not saying there's not gray aliens under the Denver airport, but that's just kind of what they do. You can find whatever you want to find in the Greek and Hebrew, and that's what they do. In Revelation 13:16, he causeth. There's a clue for you, Sherlock. He causeth. Doesn't force it on anybody. This is a choice. This is the same choice that Eve had in the Garden of Eden, that Israel had with Jesus and Barabbas. It's the same choice. He causes them. There is manipulation going on. There are what I'm doing today, what I do with everything that I do, I'm trying to influence you biblically to give your heart to the Lord, to serve God, to follow Him, and to choose life. That's what I'm always encouraging you to do. And I think the best way to do that is to get you in the King James Bible and get you to read it. I think that's the best way to do it. But then the devil is out there trying to manipulate people with a subtlety and subliminal images and ideas that don't come in through the window or don't come in through the doorway of your focus. They come in some other way. This is what they try to do. So he's causing all, and the cause is being worked on right now. He causeth all. Then you look at the rest of the verse. Both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. In other words, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. The word all here is attached to what describes all after that. Small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. Notice there's six here. Go read Genesis 6. You'll get it. You'll figure it out. But the all here, clearly, just look at the verse. It doesn't, and to say that all receive the mark during this time, that's not biblical. That's not right, because clearly there are people who are beheaded. Why? They don't take it. That's why. So the all doesn't mean everybody in the whole world, no matter who they are. It means all groups, the small, the great, the rich, the poor, the free, and the bond. That's what it means. And so that's the basis of it anyway. But it's about verse 17, that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And I'm kind of spilling the beans on what I'm going to talk about Tuesday. Did you know the FBI has a program called Next Generation Identification? Now I want you to ponder that. The word gene is in the word generation. And you hear the Joel's Army crowd talking about a new breed, a new generation, a new species, a new kind, a new people, a new era, a new paradigms, a new everything. Everything's going to be new. It's all going to be brand new now, a new order. But they talk about, in the Joel's Army group, they talk about a new breed coming. Because their Papa Prophet prophesied that it's going to be a new breed and everybody's going to have their DNA changed. We're going to be superheroes. We're going to run around and nobody's going to be able to stop us. Hornets won't be able to hurt us or anything like that. And I want you to think about that phrase, next generation identification. Because I've been seeing over the last few years this idea that that the things being set up right now are being set up for a reason. That is to be able to instantly identify those who are and those who are not. Those who have been tagged, marked. Those who have not been marked. That's what I see happening here. And there's some things I'm going to show you Tuesday, if the Lord allows. You'll get it. Okay? It's part of that. But the European Commission wants to fingerprint anyone who enters the European Union under its Smart Borders proposal. See? Watch this now. Watch this. Good friend of mine, Alan Franklin, who was a British newspaper editor. Can't remember what paper. I've met him several times through Southwest Radio. His wife is from this area. Great man. But I talked to him. I interviewed him on a radio show I had several years ago. And he was talking to me about what was going on in the EU and how they were spying on farmers and doing all this and doing all that and everything else. And, you know, he's speaking as a British citizen, but as a European as well. And he laid out the idea. He said, we Brits, we Europeans, he said, we're used to change. We have, you know, governments toppling all the time. And he said, the people are just, whatever the government tells us to do, that's what we're doing. He said, that's what we're used to. You Americans are different. And I remember interviewing him before 9/11, 2001. I think it was in 2000. And he was telling about all the things that were going on in the European Union and how it was bringing about a surveillance society. And I said, well, so let me ask you this. I said, from what you're telling me, this stuff is going on in Europe and it's coming to America. And he said, that's right. I said, but in America, we won't just roll over and take it. It'll take some big catastrophe in order for to Americans to accept it. And he said, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell everybody. That was in 2000. 2001, we have our catastrophe, and we have, you know, like 6 minutes after it, they're writing the Patriot Act, which is starting to take away our rights. So watch what's going on in Europe, because it's called a smart border control. And so any of this legislation that's being discussed right now in Congress about protecting our borders, all this talk about protecting our borders, I almost guarantee you that it's going to include some sort of smart identification program. Watch and see. The commission says the system is necessary to update border control checks, reduce waiting times, and help border guards better implement EU border rules by pooling the personal details of any non-EU citizen over the age of 12 into a database. All 10 fingerprints would be scanned to ensure that anyone who tosses their ID can still be identified if necessary. The package includes the entry-exit system, the Registered Travelers Program. This is reserved for a more privileged frequent visitor to the EU, such as business people or researchers. But anyway, it's a way, a biometric database to track every non-European Union citizen coming to an American border near you. Let's see, I read about the freakishly huge hornets. Do I want to get into that? I think I'll save this for later. That's what I'll do. I'll wait on some of this. I want to get into this. Let me see here. Let me pull this up. Let me get rid of my graphics here so you can see the whole picture. All right. Somebody sent me. Oh, I got to do this. In Europe, in Netherlands, they said, Pastor Mike, you want to see the conditioning going on? Here is a mannequin that they saw in a department store, and you can't see it very clearly, but here on this thing, let me see if I can do like a close-up graphic of the hands here. Let me do this. Let me crop it. I'm going to crop the hands, and I'm going to enlarge the hands. Here we go. Now I do this and make it bigger, and then I'm going to save it. And then I'm going to pop it up on the screen here. Let me import it. So on and so on. You got to see this. This is why I'm spending as much time with this. You have got to see this thing. Take a look at that. Okay? Yeah. That's the and there was more than one. There were several of them. All over this department store, these people with human heads. And then the I guess it's the talons of a dragon or something, like some sort of reptilian creature. Dun dun dun. So anyway, I appreciate you sending that. And then here we go. Here's the Iron Man poster. Now, I want you to just ponder this just for, you know, a few seconds while I take a sip of my liquid here. What do you see here? Okay. I see a skull. I see a woman, a red-haired woman. Who is this red-haired woman? Let me show you a painting of her. This is Yahweh and Shekinah. What are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Let me explain it to you like this. And people have, when I show people this, when I showed pastor friends of mine this, they couldn't believe it. I asked them, have you ever heard about Shekinah? Yeah. Have you ever talked about it? Yeah, I'm sure I have, you know. Where'd you hear about it? I don't know. Other preachers, I guess. I don't know. Did you ever read it in the Bible? No. But it's in there. Where? Well, you know, it's the presence of God. Really? And they said, yeah, it's like in the Hebrew or something. That's what we were told. And I always tell them, no, it's not. It's not there. The Hebrew word shachan, or whatever that is, masculine. That's a masculine noun. That's what that's in reference to. The masculinity of God. The fatherhood of God. But the word Shekinah is feminine. It's a girl word. Not a boy word. It's a girl word. Okay, and she has pretty red hair. This word, Shekinah, is not, number one, it's not in the King James. That should, like, bells and whistles should be going off right there in your head. It's not in the King James. And I just have this policy. If it's not in the King James, it doesn't exist. And because I'm finding what's going on and out in this world, where am I finding it? I'm finding it in the King James Bible. Where did I find about Saturn? If you watch the Watchman broadcast this week. In the King James Bible. So anyway, it's not in Hebrew either. It shows up in the Kabbalah. You see, God told the Israelites, when you go into the land, they got a religion over there. I don't want you to learn it. Because it's a religion about Baal and Ashtaroth. And how Baal mates with Ashtaroth. And you're going to have in their temples, you're going to have these women as priests that the men will go to worship God. Like Ed Young Jr. gets on the stage with a bed up there and says, sex is worship. Well, yeah, it was in Babylon. Sure it was. And God told the Israelites, don't learn it. Don't burn the temples down. Kill all the priests. Don't learn their religion. And they said, okay, God, we won't. We promise. You wonder what they're doing over there. And they go in there and they learn the religion. But they ascribe Hebrew names to it. Now Baal's not Baal. He is Yahweh. And Yahweh has a girlfriend, has a wife, a consort. That's what's there. This is the Michelangelo painting on the Sistine Chapel of God allegedly giving life to Adam. That's not how God did it. But that's what Michelangelo painted. And your attention has always been drawn to him touching Adam on his finger. I never looked at God's other arm around his red-headed, naked girlfriend. Never saw it until I read it in a book somewhere, and I went, no way. And I went and looked it up, and I went, God's got his arm around a red-headed, naked woman. Well, that's Shekinah. And if you listen to some of these guys talk about Shekinah, oh, we want the Shekinah released. Wait a minute. Wait, just a minute. If you really, see, you're just being ignorant. If you really mean what you say, then what you want is for the God to fornicate with his girlfriend so that there can be this release, this ecstasy. That's what you're saying. That's what Shekinah is. But she's depicted as this red-headed woman. Why is that? Well, we get the idea from the book of Revelation, chapter 17. This is the whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. She is a strange woman. They called them the scarlet women because they wore red. If you watched the Pure Bible study yesterday, or even if you watched it today, the one I recorded yesterday dealt with the great red dragon. Why is he red? Well, then you just go through the Bible and look at red and look at what's red and how red applies to everything. And it's related to her. She is dressed in scarlet, though your sins be as what? Scarlet. So go back and look at this. This graphic here is Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And Mystery Babylon has a boyfriend, a husband. Isis has Osiris. And Osiris was killed. He was cut down. He was cut in pieces. Wait till the Watchmen broadcast comes out next week. But Osiris was cut in pieces. And I showed this in, let's see, which one was it? The Comic-Con? All these paintings of Mary Magdalene with red hair and pregnant and a book and a skull. There's one there. Here's one where she's reading a book. Here is another one, the red-headed Magdalene. So take a look at this and then look at this. Okay? The skull. Here's another one. Mary Magdalene, she's got a little poochy belly. She's going to have a little baby. She's going to give birth. She's going to travail as a woman. She's going to bring forth to the world Ichabod, the glorious departed. That painting there was in this movie, The Little Mermaid. What color hair does she have? She has red hair. What is the significance of this skull here? What does that represent? And what you do is you download the software, Pure Bible Search, and or you get a really large concordance. It's easier to just get the software, and it's free. Donna's working on 2.0. Pray for her and pray that God will bless. Pray for us. We get under persecution. I mentioned last night during church, someone broke something on our natural gas line coming into the church, and there was gas leak outside. We caught it and had it fixed. The Gary went out in the church van the other day and says, I know I just filled this tank up, but it was empty. He says there's a leak. Has it towed to the Dodge dealership. They put it up on the rack and said, someone got underneath your van with a drill and drilled a hole in your gas tank. Either stole the gas or just let it out. There's a big brown patch in the grass by where the van sits. Somebody drilled a hole in your gas tank, in your church van. I don't know who did it. I don't know. Any number of reasons could be true why somebody did that, but somebody did that. And that kind of troubles me. We're gonna end up setting up more security cameras around our church building. But you pray for us. Gary got the bill. It's like $500 for a new gas tank. Somebody suggested, why don't we just buy a new van? Well, let's see, $30,000 or $500. I think we'll spend $500 on a new gas tank. But anyway, what was I talking? Anyway, pray for Donna. She's writing the software. The software. You got the software. Look at the software. Look at the word skull. Look at head. Look at things like that. Think of the skull. Think of, can you think of a place in the Bible that has something to do with a skull? Let's look at some scriptures here. Judges chapter 9, verse 53, and a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head and all to break his skull. Now, let me stop right here. Where did the stone go that was cut without hands? It was a stone from the brook. Where did the stone go that hit Goliath? It was in his skull. It was in his head. God said he would break the head of Leviathan. He would crush his head. Revelation 13, what do you see there? You see a beast, and he has, verse 3, I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. So look at this. And if you saw Iron Man 3, or as they say down south of here, Arn. We went and saw Arn, man. Yeah, where are you from? I'm down Arnton. That's Ironton. Anyway, look at it. It's the skull. He's got a wound here. He's received a wound in his skull. And his red-headed Shekinah girlfriend is mourning him. By the way, if you remember, he gets buried and he gets pulled out of the clutter and this and that and the other. But all of these images here of the woman with the skull, the redheaded woman with the skull, this just goes to the conditioning that people are getting, the imagery that people are being faced with. Let's see here. Where is that quote? Manly Hall. In Secret Teachings of All Ages, he said, the book to which this is the introduction is dedicated to the proposition that concealed within the emblematic figures, allegories, and rituals of the ancients is a secret doctrine concerning the inner mysteries of life, which doctrine has been preserved in totality or in toto among a small band of initiated minds since the beginning of the world. Departing, these illumined philosophers left their formula that others too might attain to understanding. But lest these secret processes fall into uncultured hands and be perverted, the great arcanum was always concealed in symbol or allegory. And those who can today discover its lost keys may open with them a treasure house of philosophic, scientific, and religious truths. And so you go back to the scriptures, and here you have the skull. When they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they brought him to Golgotha, being interpreted the place of the skull. John says the same thing, and bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Now, I'm going to bring in this story here from the book of Judges. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took an hammer in her hand and went softly unto him, and smote the nail in his temples and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. so he died. What did J.L. Heber's wife do? She fastened him in the skull as a nail in a sure place. I love that verse. Isaiah chapter 22, I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. So that's the emblem that you have here with J.L. Heber's wife. She takes a nail, a tent peg, and basically drives it through his temple into the ground. He's stuck to the ground. Nails him to the ground. Fastens him as a nail in a sure place. I want you to think of the cross being driven down into the skull, which represents the Antichrist, the place of the skull, Golgotha. Why was he crucified there? To fulfill the imagery of Bible prophecy. Now, there's something else here that I really like. I just saw this today, and I really liked it. Deborah, who was the judge in charge of Israel during this time, when she heard about this story, she sang a song. And I just like the words of this song. What's the tune? I don't know. But I like the words of this song. You see, I listen to the words of the song. In Judges chapter 5, blessed above women. Who's that sound like to you? Like Mary, doesn't it? Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. And I like this. Look at verse 27. At her feet he bowed. He fell. He lay down. At her feet, where he bowed, there he fell down dead. Look at that. At her feet, he bowed, he fell, he lay down. When you go back and read like 1 Samuel 17, here you have little David and you have big Goliath. And when you look at that story, when David smote Goliath on the forehead, you know how the Bible describes Goliath falling? It says he fell on his face to the earth. Who was he facing? David. He fell and bowed before the shepherd. Isn't that cool? And so what happens to Sisera? He falls and bows before Jael, who is a picture, I believe, of the church. He falls and bows at her feet. And she has him now at her feet. Look at Romans 16. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Revelation 12. I'm dealing with this woman in our Revelation Bible study. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. Look at where the moon is. What's the moon? According to Genesis 1, it's the lesser light that rules over the darkness, the night. And I'll be getting into that symbolism as we move forward in our study of the fourth kingdom. When I get into the rulers of the darkness of this world, I'll be looking at the lesser light, what it symbolizes, what it means. Satan, the moon under her feet, J.L., Heber's wife, and how Sisera is now at her feet, and she bruised his head. Oh, yeah, that'll leave a mark, won't it? That's what she did. God used the woman. God used the woman to defeat the enemy. Whew. I like that. May the God of heaven bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And I'll be honest with you guys, there's days, boy, I'd like to get on some stomping grounds. Wouldn't you? Amen. Oh, let's see here. What's everybody got on their mind today? That's pretty good, John. John writes in and says, in Great Britain, they drive on the wrong side of the road. That is why I thought they don't belong to the EU, but they do. Good one, John. Appreciate that. Let's see here. Who's got something here? Ask Pastor Mike. Pastor Mark says, no, you're a spammer. You're a troll. I'm not reading your emails. Here's another one. No, I'm not reading that one either. Frankie says, question. Do you think that King James Bible Christians are going to be the ones who the Antichrist goes after when he comes? The only way I know how to answer that is this way. I believe that if you believe every word of God is pure, if you believe that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified seven times, if you believe that God shall keep them from this generation forever, if you believe that heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's words shall not pass away, if you believe with stammering lips and other tongues God speaks to the nations, and if you believe that every word of God in your Bible is absolutely the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, then yes, the powers of hell itself are against you. That's what I believe, according to Scripture. Let's see here. Dan, Luke 13. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke 13. He's got a question about Luke 13. And by the time we're done, I might have a question about Luke 13. So Luke chapter 13, verse 23. Let's read the scriptures. And let's see here. Verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I knew not whence ye are, or I know not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunken in thy presence, or eaten and drunk in thy presence, thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And by the way, somebody wrote on my blog, and I didn't post it. Somebody wrote on my blog the other day that I'm going to be gnashing my teeth in hell, because I don't follow most of the Torah. Okay? That's what people think about me. When you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out, they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Now the question is, I'm having trouble understanding the answer Jesus gave. Can you explain this? And in verse 29, who is Jesus referring to as they? I'm not sure how to answer. Dan, I don't have a problem answering. I'm not sure how to answer. I'm not sure exactly what you're looking for here. They would be whoever comes from the north, south, east, and west. Where's the gospel going? North, south, east, and west, to the four corners of the earth. It's going into all the world to preach the gospel. Jerusalem. Count Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. That's four places. They're going to come from those places and sit down in the kingdom of God. So I believe they are those who have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who believe what God said. That's who I think they are. I'm not exactly sure, you know, what you're asking here. So if you write in and I get to it, we'll take a look at it. All right. Craig from Shell Knob says, bless you, Pastor Mike, and your family and congregation. I appreciate that. I really do. You wouldn't happen to have a gas tank for a 2000 Ram 3500 van, would you? Just asking. Okay. Now I think we already wrote the check and bought it. Kate says, Pastor Mike, I deem you my pastor. I want so to thank you for your continued faithfulness to the KJV. Where I live, there are at least 40-plus churches, most of whom have all turned to purpose-driven life, including the Baptist Church here in Maricopa, Arizona. Stop right here. Let me tell you a little bit about my own love for the KJV Bible. I heard it read 3 times a day while yet in my mother's womb. My dad read it 3 times a day after each meal. I was raised on a farm in Minnesota's. Enough of that. My main reason for contacting you again is to do with a comment I made regarding the Triquetra. I saw on the military channel last week after your Tuesday PMO. I called Kay and told her I would try to locate it. After spending 7 straight hours of watching programs on Hitler, I came out without finding it. It was the most horrifying, grueling, and horrifying YouTube half hours at a time I've ever watched. And so now getting to the point, my husband and I went to our public library and couldn't find it either. The reason is it is new and will be shown again until it can be released publicly in about 6 months. However, it gleans some sayings of Hitler, such as, inside there is a hollow earth, the Arctic ice cap. Really? Did he say that? That's interesting. That matches what I talked about in the Comic-Con about the Tool Society, Hyperborea. The idea that there's a mystical city up in the North Country, and do I believe in a hollow earth? I believe that's where hell is. And I believe there is a race of beings down there. Revelation 9. They look like hornets. They look like locusts. And they have long hair like women and rock stars. That's what I believe. He said it's called the Vril, the power of the coming race. Our salvation. Pastor, this is really an FYI for you. Sorry it took so long. No, I don't mind at all. Appreciate that, all right? And then he says, how can I get your congregation singing? It's kind of hard to do because YouTube has a conniption. Every time somebody posts something on YouTube with music in it, okay? So it's kind of hard for us, as Sermon Audio doesn't mind us streaming the congregational singing live, but they don't want us posting the congregational singing because of copyright. So I don't know what we can do about it yet. But anyway, appreciate that. Let's see here. Ananda says, hi, I've recently watched Ron White's videos on Noah's Arks, the Red Sea, and the Ark of the Covenant. Have you seen them? Yes. What is your take on it? I thought his research was backed up by scriptures, but why does he have to be a Seventh-day Adventist? Well, part of his stuff is backed up by scripture. Now, I like the whole Noah's Ark thing. I don't know if it's there, but I mean, I believe the Ark's still up on somewhere on Mount Ararat. I believe that. Is that what he saw in that little geological formation? I don't know. The chariot wheels in the Red Sea and Mount Sinai, that's been proven. Okay, there's been other people gone to that same place and they said, yeah, that's it. That's right there. The mountain is still charred to this day. And Paul said that Sinai was in Arabia, not in Mount Sinai, not in the Sinai Peninsula. Paul said it was in Arabia, and that's where Ron said it was. Concerning the Ark of the Covenant underneath the center cross hole on Golgotha, Gordon's Calvary, I have serious doubts. I found zero biblical correlation to that. None whatsoever. It's not there. And so I don't believe that it's there simply because I have zero evidence that it's there. One guy saying, oh yeah, I dug through this chamber and found it there and all this. I don't know that. He says he tried to take a picture and for some reason it came out blurry. Really? You know what? I'm not basing anything that I look into or I think about scripture concerning Ron Wyatt. I'm not doing it. So, you know, just kind of take that with a grain of sand. Let's see here. Pastor Mike, the God I worship is a God of order. Amen. There isn't a test or choice regarding taking the mark unless I'm missing something. Even unbelievers say they won't do it. Seems to me worrying about the mark is fleshly vanity. Who will blaspheme God and worship the beast? That is the question. And then the scripture here. And he had power to give life into the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And then verse 16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich, poor, free, and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And she writes, I'd rather be killed than worship the beast and blaspheme God. And, oh, I think I get what you're saying here. I've kind of having problems following you, and I know why, so, you know, I'm with you. The idea is that there's more to it than just taking this mark. It is worshiping this beast, falling down and worshiping his image. The people who take the mark are the same people. If I'm getting this right here, the people who take the mark are the same people who worship the beast. And that's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. You write in here, even unbelievers say they won't do it. I bet they do. I bet they do. And I've tried to express this in several videos that I've made, because I knew, hopefully, conspiracy-minded people would watch them. And there's a ton of people out there that are anti-New World Order, they're anti-Mark of the Beast, they're anti-RFID chips, they're anti-genetically modified organisms, they're anti-all the right stuff. The problem is, they're also anti-Bible. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Really? Really? Then how come you don't believe the scriptures? And what I've been trying to tell people is, I think those of you out there that have not been sanctified by the Spirit, have not been washed clean by the blood of Christ, and have born again, the new birth in you, I think something's going to happen, and you're either going to get killed, or you're going to go worship the beast. And so, just something to think about. And if I'm wrong, if I misunderstood your email, then let me know later. All right. Let's see here. Craig says, first of all, want to say how much I love you, brother. My wife and I watch you daily. So you're the ones watching me. You work for the government? Just kidding. God working for you, and I've been reading the King James and been growing in my faith and really seeing a lot of differences in the other so-called translations. Thank you so much. I have a question to run by you. I've heard that the spire that was added to the New World Trade Tower to bring the total height up to 1776 feet tall was made in three sections that total 18 tons. I was wondering if each section happens to be in measurement of six. If you've watched, you just have watching number patterns and symbols a lot these days. If you can, I would love to see that idea that the spire that they put on top of the World Trade Tower was 18 tons. I'd like to see that. I don't doubt it, but I'd like to see evidence of that, and I will run with it. I promise you, I will. So it's an interesting thought. Wow, appreciate that. P.S., a few months ago, you told my wife, Anita, that you would be our pastor. We had to leave a church because they were headed in the Rob Bell delusion. Wow. What a delusion to run into, literally. Craig, appreciate that. I'll do whatever I can for you guys, and I really mean that. And that goes to everybody out there. You're the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. And you pray for me and pray for us and pray for Bethel Church. I mean, the devil doesn't like what we're doing. He hates it. So just keep us in your prayers, all right? Let's see here. Adam. Some time ago, you told your viewers that all forms of the word love are found 555 times in the King James Bible. When one enters L-O-V, In the Pure Bible Search software, there are only 554 occurrences of LOV, significantly less amount of verses that are occurrences are found in. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to go back to my old standby. I have an old copy of QuickVerse 3.0 that I used for years. That's where I learned to count. Unfortunately, it does not and refuses to run under Windows 7. It just it's one of those old 16-bit programs that Windows 7 can't handle. Okay, because it can't handle the truth. So as I'm talking, I'm loading up in a virtual machine. I use VirtualBox. I'm loading up an old copy of Windows XP. So now I'm going to type in my old QuickVerse program, the word love, L-O-V. Now I'm going to do a screen capture, and it comes up. I mean, I always double check what I say and triple check and everything like that. I don't see why I want a screen capture. Hang on here. Let me do this. Let me try this, and let's see if it comes up. Hang on here. Anyway, the total in QuickVerse. Yeah, there it is right there. Now, let me format this, and I'll put it up on the screen. The total that I get in QuickVerse is exactly 555 times in the King James Bible. Now, I don't know what the discrepancy is. Hang on here. Let me save this picture, and I'll just call it 555, and I will put it on the screen for you. Hang on here. Let's count down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There it is. Okay? That's the result that I get from QuickVerse 3.0. All the forms of the word L-O-V with an asterisk 555 times in, I can't read how many verses there. Let me do the same thing in the King James Pure Bible Search software. And I get 554. Now, I'm going to have Donna look into that. Okay? I tell you what I could do. Who is this? Adam. Adam, what I could do, and you could do this in your time if you want to. I could do a printout. Actually, I won't print it out. I could send you a Word document with every occurrence that QuickVerse pulls the word love, L-O-V, out 555 times and send that to you. Then you could cross-reference it against the King James Pure Bible Search if you want me to do that. I don't mind doing it at all. You just let me know, all right? And I appreciate you bringing that to my attention, all right? I don't want to say anything that's not true. My reputation that I want for our ministry and our church and me is that I want it to be true. And if it's not true, if it's not a fact, then I don't want to tell it. So anyway. Rhonda says, Pastor Mike, I was at my church last night, and my pastor told me there were other Bibles before the King James. He also said that the King James is not the only Bible God wants us to use. How can we be sure that the King James is the only one? Rhonda, let me just give you a couple. Just write these down, some very simple tests that you can give, all right? And very, very simple stuff, okay? In selecting, and I'm just going to let you make the decision on this. I did the video called Which Bible? You Be the Judge. You make the decision on this, Rhonda. Ask yourself, who was it that was in the fiery furnace in Daniel chapter 3? Who was in the fiery furnace? Ask yourself that question. And then go look in whichever Bible you want. Ask yourself the question, who fell from heaven in Isaiah 14? Who fell from heaven and is going to have worms eat them? Read Isaiah 14 and ask the question, who fell from heaven and is going to have worms and is going to hell to have worms eat them? Ask the question, who is that? Ask yourself the question, how can I fight against devils that need to be gone? How do I fight against them? And then go look in whatever Bible you want to and see if you find the answer. Ask yourself the question that the Ethiopian eunuch asked. What is the requirement biblically to be baptized? What is the biblical requirement in Acts chapter 8 to be baptized? Ask yourself this question. Is there a verse in my Bible that specifically, word for word, spells out the idea of a Godhead, of Father, Word, and Holy Ghost? Ask those questions, and then get all your Bibles out and go through them and see which one answers those questions. That's how you decide what Bible's right. That's how you do it. Okay? Simple question. Yes, there were other, of course there were other Bibles before the King James, because the Word of God is eternal, and He promised He would always preserve His Word. And so we always did. But you have to, now you're not living before 1600. You're living right now. And you ask those questions. You go to the Bibles that everybody's saying, oh no, this one's better, this one's better. And just ask those simple questions. Find out who was in that fiery furnace. Find out who fell from heaven. Find that out. All right? Let me know what you come up with. Let's see here. Now, you're a troll. Never mind. Okay, I'm not reading your email. Let's see here. Here's another one. Here's another troll. Okay. Wow. Man, you ought to see what I see. My goodness, what people say. John says, love you, Pastor Mike. Hey, can you tell me, if the mark of the beast is not forced on us and we have a choice, why would we be headed if we refuse to take the mark? But I don't know why you're asking this, because you kind of answered your own question. If it's forced on everybody, why would they have to behead anybody for not having it? Okay? And just, you know, think about that one for a while. Sam says, I've been invited to an independent Baptist church. They say they are KJV. However, some of the members still use other translations. I found out one of the leaders is a martial arts teacher. That has made me pause. Is this similar to yoga? Yeah. Now, let me say this. I don't know. Martial arts, if a guy's just telling you how to karate chop somebody in the back of the head, okay, whatever. Most of martial arts teaches this concept of balance, the yin and the yang. That is an that's Baphomet. That's what that is. That's who the beast is. He's a little good and a little evil mixed together. So it's okay. It's a balance of the good and bad, the yin and the yang. It's okay. Most martial arts, they'll say, now center yourself. You know what that is? That is the two opposites coming together. Okay, and I don't know. You know what, Sam? You know, try it out. Try it out. It may be a situation where God's going to use that pastor to kind of clean house there. I mean, I don't know. You know, just try it, taste and see to see if it's good or not. All right, that's what I can tell you. All right. Monty says, I just tuned in. To my surprise, I had a similar conversation with a radio host last night. He is convinced that those who take the mark can still be... You know what? I was going to read that, wasn't I? I was going to read the transcript. Let me see if I can... I've got it up on the screen here. Brandon House, you remember when we talked about... someone asked about the mark of the beast and whether or not someone could receive the mark of the beast and then become a believer. Do you remember that? Jimmy DeYoung says, uh-huh. House says, do you remember the controversy that stirred up? DeYoung says, yes. House says, it was quite a bit, wasn't it?
DeYoung. It was House.
I got a lot of emails, people saying, I can't believe it, he would say such a thing. Do you remember all that?
DeYoung says, yes, sir, I do.
House. All right. Well, I was walking April, the dog, the other night, listening to Q&A from a few years ago where John MacArthur on a Wednesday night would have folks in his congregation stand up and go to the microphone and shoot questions at him. Would you like to hear the question he was asked and his answer?
DeYoung, laughing.
Yeah. House, laughing also. Okay, here we go. So this is the audio from John's church, the man. My question is in regard to the latter half of the tribulation period, when men would be required to have the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell. My question is, once a person takes the mark, is there any possibility of him coming to Christ? MacArthur, yes. I think, you know, in the seven-year tribulation coming in the future, we're going to get into this, probably a week from Sunday night, maybe this Sunday night, maybe a week, I'm not sure, but the tribulation is a seven-year period, right? The rapture of the church, the seven-year tribulation, then Christ returns, sets up his kingdom. Now, in that seven-year period, really two things happen. God begins to judge the world with a series of holocausts, and at the same time, he begins to redeem his people, Israel. And in the process of this, the Antichrist establishes his rule, and in order to function in the economy of the Antichrist, you have to take the mark of the beast. The mark being the number of a man, Revelation 13, 666. Six is the number of man, right? MacArthur starts talking really fast here. Seven is the number of perfection, and man always falls short of perfection. 666, always sixes, never a seven. So toward the time when we're going to have to do everything we do by cards and by numbers and all that, those number, the thing about a card, that's a, I don't know what he's getting at here. Apparently what is going to happen, you take the mark in your hand and your forehead, and we've talked a lot about that. Let's see here. In other words, you identify with the beast empire, will you still be able to be redeemed? And I think the answer to that is yes. Yes, otherwise there would be no salvation of anybody in the end of the tribulation. You've got to have the salvation of folks in the end of tribulation. You're going to have the Jews redeemed. You're going to have, according to Revelation chapter 7, an innumerable number of Gentiles redeemed. So many that they can't be counted across the face of the earth. Now, let me stop right here. What if MacArthur's wrong about who that is in Revelation 7 around the throne? The innumerable number of Gentiles. What if he's wrong about that? What he's done, he is a sin. So let me just continue reading here. So, and let me go through this. Now we're back to Brandon House. Well, there you go, Dr. DeYoung. DeYoung laughing. Well, we're looking at the same book. You know, that's what's so interesting, and that's what we're saying. I mean, you know, that's not the unpardonable sin. Really? You've got to be, I've never thought that what he said there was very interesting. The fact is, if nobody gets saved in the last 3.5 years because they have received the mark, there's that unbelievable number of Jews that come to know Christ, that are living, that actually go into the millennial kingdom in natural bodies. That's good that a brother John is listening at the same book, is looking at the same book that I am, and we came up with the same answers. House. Well, it is. And that was very interesting because you remember that was really, really controversial. I don't, I'm not so sure you've ever made a statement on our program before that was as controversial as that one. And I got so many emails on it. And then I was walking the dog the other night listening to this Q&A and I thought, I've got to play this on the air. This would be a great surprise for Dr. DeYoung. So there you go. And so they continue on with this little thing, but both of them, along with MacArthur, have this idea and this notion. And people, I am just, I want you to understand how dangerous it is to listen to men tell you it's okay to take the mark. That is, number one, it's irresponsible. And if anybody wants to send this to Brandon House and Jimmy DeYoung and John MacArthur as if I matter to them, you go ahead. It is irresponsible for you to tell people that if they find themselves not being taken up in the translation, that if they come forcing a mark on them, that they can go ahead and take it so they can have, you know, bread and peanut butter. But then they can repent after that and God will accept them? That is irresponsible. It's the same notion that Herbert W. Armstrong and the Jehovah's Witness cult telling everybody, and apparently I found it was Mormons. They teach that if you don't accept it here, when you die, you're going to get another chance now. And I'm telling you, if you convince Mike Hoggard of that one, I'm out of here, brother. Because my flesh wants to have a party, and my soul won't let it. Because my soul is convinced of the Word of God that you can't do that. That there is after this appointment, there's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. No second chance. And these people are telling people it's irresponsible for you to tell people this, guys. It's wrong. Your judgment is wrong. Your doctrine is wrong. I don't see where you're quoting scripture here. You go look. Look for yourself. Look at the places in the book of Revelation and tell me or tell yourself, what does the Bible say happens to people who take the mark? What happens to them? You don't see any place in the scriptures where anybody takes this mark and then God says, don't worry about it. I'm only looking on the inside. I know you didn't mean it. I know you had to eat. So I'm going to forgive that. That is a lie, gentlemen. It's not just a lie. It's a damnable lie. That lie may end up being responsible for damning someone and conning them into taking a mark. Because Brandon House said, it's okay. And I want everybody listening to me. Don't listen to Brandon House. Or Mike Hoggard, for that matter. You go look for yourself in the Word of God. The inerrant, incorruptible, uncorrupted, pure Word of God. And if you don't like the fact that I said that, all I did was quote Scripture. All I did was use scriptural adjectives to describe the Bible. Pure. Not inerrant. Incorruptible. That's how God describes His Word. Everlasting. Preserved from this generation forever. And if you want to clip out this little part and send it to either one of those guys, be my guest. But I'm not going to sit still while these guys spread that heresy and not say something about it. Somebody has got to challenge this notion in the public arena. And I'll do it. I sure will. What you guys did was wrong, and it was dangerous. Totally irresponsible as men of God, what you call yourself, men of God, totally irresponsible for you to do that. Alex, did you see the Drudge Report on Twitter today? A roaring lion is inspired. I saw that. That's weird. Okay. Monty talks about the head wound in the Iron Man poster. I did see that. Let's see here. Somebody's telling me that the Capitol is on lockdown after shots fired. We'll have to check into that. David sees a head wound on there. Okay, good eye, David. Bruce, you're not getting my time, Bruce. Here we go. Shots heard at Capitol Building under lockdown. Jazz sent this.
Shots have been fired outside U.S. Capitals. We'll look into that. Okay? We will look into that, all right? In fact, you might want to go Drudge Report or whatever and see what's up with that. Capitol lockdown here. Here's some other ones here. Denny says, thanks for spreading the gospel of the grace of God, Pastor Mike. I remember seeing an episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation, in which there was a guy from a planet other than Earth who was being ostracized by others of his society because he was demonstrating some unusual characteristics. I think I remember that one. Finally, it was shown that the reason for the unusual characteristics was part of an evolutionary process in which he was being transformed into a... I remember that. Into a god with the power to travel through space without a spaceship. He also had other powers. The thing that reminded me of this was you talking about the FBI program called The Next Generation. I see. It's been going on for a long time. Appreciate that. Terry wants me to be encouraged and keep fighting the good fight. I appreciate that, Terry. Let's see here. A lot of this is of the mind. Hello, let's see. Troy says, my Mormon friends believe God has a physical body. Let me read the scriptures to you, okay? Did Mary and the disciples physically touch Jesus when he rose from the grave? Well, Jesus told Thomas to put his fingers in the piercings in his hands and thrust his hand into the wound in his side. Yeah, that's the same body that they took down off the cross was the same body that he was standing there in front of his disciples with. Exact same body. But Mormon friends believe God has a physical body. Okay? And I know why they say this. Because your Mormon friends believe, and I don't know if you've seen this little cartoon. Here's God knocking on Mary's door. Hey, baby. And according to Mormon doctrine, God went in. God Elohim went into Mary's house, made her lay down, and gave her a kid. That's Mormon doctrine. Number one, as of that point, Joseph has every right to put her away because she's been defiled. Anyway, I'll get into the rest of that later. I appreciate everybody writing in. Let's see here. Donna's writing in, searching for LOV, seems to yield 554 occurrences. Please have the person with a different count email me the details of the search. One possibility is that the other software might be counting words in the chapter, something, something, something. I'll have to look into that. We're gonna research this, and we're going to look into it, all right? Eric writes in and says, hey, John MacArthur, Revelation 19:20, the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. You see, when you're the guy that tells people it's okay to take the mark, doesn't that make you the false prophet? Anyway, let God be true and every Mike Hoggard a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. If you got questions on anything I said, you don't like what I said, whatever, then just go ask God in the Bible. That's what I do. It's good to be with you today. Remember to pray for Bethel. Remember to pray for us here. The Watchman broadcast powers coming out soon. We'll see you.